God, how's everybody doing this morning?
Blessed.
Good to see you. Hopefully you realize how blessed you were this week. And hopefully we are thanking him every day for everything. Amen. One of the things it says in prayer, petition with thanksgiving, we are to praise him and to present our requests to him. So we need those elements. And I know sometimes we only want to thank him when it's desirable, when you're supposed to thank him for everything. Because sometimes you don't realize what he's doing. And we know that all things work for the good for those who love him. That's why we thank him. And it's the blessing that we have a God that looks out for us for our best interests and not for our desired interests, which usually go in the wrong direction. So thank God for that. Now, let me get this straight. All right, praise God. Got to get that together. So for the order of my steps, if you turn your bulletins over, if you heard me say this statement before, and I want to make sure we have this one correctly, and it's based on not only because of. And you're saying, well, what does that mean, Pastor? Well, our walk as Christians has to be not only because of God, it has to be based on God. Now, it's not just a clever play on words. One thing I try not to do is something just to intrigue you with words. This is extremely important. This is something that I'm hoping you understand, because if you don't grasp this, you may fall into that black hole, or that dangerous black hole, as you're going to see it when we talk about it a little later in this. The black hole I'm talking about is there's three groups of people out there. There's unbelievers. Those are the ones that have nothing to do with God, live life their own way. It's very clear, no doubt in what they're doing. Then you have believers, those who are truly following God, completely in the word, everything's good with them. You have that middle group. That's the group that kind of follows God their way. Are they right or are they wrong? Is it okay? I've heard people, and more you get more and more groups that are coming out saying, as long as you're worshiping him, you're good. Right? Here's the problem. The Bible itself gives us a warning that we need to take into account. Look at the top of your page. It says, other religions who claim to worship God worship him their way. So they worship because of him, but not based on him. And look what happens when they do that. Matthew 15:7-9 says, you hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips. So you'll hear them speak of God. They'll bring up God's name when it's convenient. It says, but their hearts are far from me. Okay? So in other words, our purpose is really not his purpose. It may be for him, but it's not his purpose. Watch this. They worship me in vain. Now, when you hear in vain, of course, it's worthless. In other words, it's like you're not doing it at all. He says, they worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. Now, we have a lot of that going on today, in which you get people that are making up ways and say, I'm going to worship God my way, and I'm going to worship God my way, and it sounds good, and it feels good. It may even look good. But is it good? When he just said, they worship me in vain. So how do I know if I'm worshiping him correctly? Now, the sermon we're going to go over later today is glorify God, and we're going to really get a clear understanding of it. But look at what happens when we don't do things based on him, but we may do it because of him. The outcome of the because of is disastrous. Here are the outcomes. Now, this is what he says will end up being. If I'm just one of those that may say God's name, title me as a Christian, I do it my way. Matthew 7:22-23 says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Now they're saying to Christ, Lord. They're saying, but didn't we do this in your name? They're asking a question. And he's going to tell them, I never knew you, away from me. Now, he's saying on that day, that's that final day. That's it. That will be the end. Now, the fear it should bring in us is, okay, so what am I doing? Am I taking the right path? Am I doing the right thing? Because if I am just a because of, am I doing it the right way? And am I going to be one of these that saying, Lord, Lord? To be a Christian means your life purpose changes. We don't teach that. People don't teach that nowadays, okay? You have a lot of people that will say a few words, you're a Christian, life goes on, right? And if you feel good, if it makes you happy, you're a Christian, once again, life goes on. While Christianity is a life change, it's a life decision. We see in Galatians 6, 7 through 8, he says, do not be deceived, right? Makes that very clear. Do not be deceived. Why is he saying do not be deceived? Because deception is a choice. Deception is something you choose to be. A lot of us, when we like to say, well, I was confused, you don't realize, no, it's you chose to be confused because you didn't look into it. You didn't ask questions. It was easy way of just kind of bypassing it. I didn't know, so I just moved on. He's telling us not to be deceived, and he's making very clear, God cannot be mocked. He's saying a man reaps what he sows. Usually when we hear this, we only read this part of it. But there's a second part that explains this to us, where he says, the one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. So remember, it's more about the purpose before the reaping and sowing. Okay, before the sowing and reaping. It says, the one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. So what is your purpose? Now, if I become a Christian to still live for me, I haven't really become a Christian, is what it's saying. Do y'all get this? All right? Because I'm going to still try to make God work for me. I'm going to try to be happy in my way. I want things to go in the way that I think they should do. And that's why we gather around us itching ear churches. Tell me what I want to hear to make me feel good. Don't hit something that I don't like. Right? But is it what I'm supposed to hear? And it says, God says he will not be mocked. If my purpose is for him, I'm living for him. And if I live for him, I will reap eternal life. If not, I will reap destruction. So it's a life change. It's not a few words that I say and then life goes on. It is an actual life change. Now, a true Christian finds out and does what Jesus says. And there's a group of things here to show us that. If he's our Lord, he's our master. In other words, we're doing what he says. Now, I can't call him Lord if I don't follow what he says. And to even go further, I can't follow what he says if I don't know what he says. Amen? If I'm not in church or if I'm not reading my Bible and I don't know what he says, how can I call him Lord? It says to us in Luke 6, verse 46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? It's a simple question. You have a lot of Christians rarely read their Bibles, and or those who do, they'll read it, but do their own thing. And they think God's impressed because you go to church or because you read your Bible. It has nothing to do with that. It comes down to, are you doing what he says? If he's my Lord, I'm first finding out what he wants, and then I'm doing it. Does that make sense? Okay? He makes that very clear to us. If we are Christians, we will do what he says. He makes this clear in John 14. He really breaks it down. John 14, 15 through 24, he's saying, if, everybody say if you love me, you will obey what I command. Starting there right now. So now, this is one of those, if you really want to know, am I really loving God? He gave you the answer. If you love me, you obey what I command. Now remember, it's not the reverse. It's not obey what I command to show me that you love me. No. He's saying, if you're truly living for me, if you're truly a Christian, you'll take a look at your life and you're doing exactly what he says. If not, then you're not. He says in verse 16, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. It says the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore. But you will see me, because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Watch this. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. Now, there's two parts to that, if you notice. Has my commands. That means I'm in the Word of God, I have to get the commands first, right? I'm understanding what they're saying, and then obeys them. Do y'all see those two parts? He's saying this is what he means. He doesn't mean the person who just says, I'm a Christian, carry my Bible around, know nothing about it. Or I come, I hear a sermon, don't understand it, I got stuff to do, so I'm going on. How many times have you heard a sermon or a message, you didn't understand it, and you just went, oh, well, got stuff to do. Instead of going, oh, wait, I got to understand this. How am I going to do this unless I understand this, right? You know what I mean? Pastor, I need to ask you a question. I need to go over this. Can we talk about this some more? It's not clear. Or do you just go, no, didn't get it. I'm going to move on. When he says it's those who have my commands and obeys them. And not only that, how many of us will listen to somebody speak, like what they say, and just move on? He says, has my commands. In other words, I can sit up here and preach something to you, but if it's not from Christ, it's wrong. I don't care how much you like it. Your job is to check me. Your job is to check every speaker. Unfortunately, we tend to, if I like them, I'll receive it. Isn't this great? Right? And we're put in a dangerous place because they'd be telling us a lie for all we know. Because we didn't check anything. Remember, said the Bereans were a much noble character than the Thessalonians. Why? Because they heard what Paul said, but they checked the word daily to see if what Paul said was true. Do you check everyone, or do you go, man, I really enjoyed that, and then moved on? The key is here, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. He made very clear that he's not going to go into the world to cater to the world. He's offering an invitation to those in the world to come out of the world. Does that make sense? Okay. In other words, he's saying, I'm offering those to come out, but if they choose not to, that's their choice. And unfortunately, many make that wrong choice. Now, how do we get here? How do we get to this point with so many people in that because of, but not that based on? How do we get here? Okay. The Bible actually shows us that also. We see that in Romans 1, 18 through 25. He starts off with the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, God has made it plain. God has made it plain to them, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made. He's basically saying, just from what we see, you know God. Okay, just all the things around you, you know God. Reason why we allowed ourselves to get so confused because we have attached so many other things to it. In other words, he's saying it's very clearly seen. Now, I know some of us are saying, but I don't see it, because you allowed yourself to allow the world to influence what you're seeing. Amen. You've allowed other things. If you just kind of went out and looked at it, you would see God had to do this. This had to be God. It explains itself. It's saying have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. We may make excuses, but he's saying men are really without excuse. And watch this. It says, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. Now, that's a key right there. They neither glorified him as God. Very important. We're going to talk about that in the sermon, but I want to kind of give a little bit to that. When it says they neither glorified him as God, in other words, you may glorify him. You have seen some people that will say, well, I'm going to do it this way, and I'm going to do it that way, and I'm going to, and we all have our own way of glorifying God. There's a very important verse that's going to start the sermon, which is saying, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. If I were to pass around a piece of paper and said, okay, how do you glorify God? How could you answer that? And you'd be surprised, I've done this before. You get different answers. People give emotional answers. They give experienced answers. They give intellectual answers, cultured answers. They give all these answers, but do they ever give the right answer? We'll talk about that. But this is the problem here. He says they never glorified me as God, nor gave thanks. So they're going through the motions and they're doing what they think is right. And they're worshiping him his way, their way, but not his way. Very dangerous place to be. It says, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. So when we worship God incorrectly, it actually causes a problem with us and we get further and further away from God. It says, although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of immortal God for the images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their heart to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. The decline of man came because man kept putting himself into the equation. Man kept saying, I'm going to do it my way. Right? I worship you, God, but I'm going to do it my way. And you accept it because that's what I want you to do. And you remember what we read earlier. He says, many are going to come to me and say, Lord, Lord. And he's going to say, I never knew you. Because we've lost the fear or that reverence we're supposed to have for God, and we just start doing it our way. And we suppress the truth. And that's why he's saying his wrath is being revealed. We're going to see what that wrath is going to be. So now, how can I be a based on Christian and not just a because of Christian? How can I do that? First of all, stop trying to find the desirable way of life and take the right way of life. Did y'all catch this? Stop trying to find the desirable way of life and take the right way of life. It says in Matthew 7, 13 to 14, enter through the narrow gate. He starts off with the answer, if you notice. Enter through, and here's the key word, narrow. So now the entering is where you start. So what are you trying to do? What we love as human beings is variety, right? I remember growing up, usually only had vanilla and chocolate ice cream. Not a variety. Now you got so many flavors, some of them I can't pronounce, right? And we just love it. I just can't make my choice. I don't know what to do. And that's what we want in life. And we started doing that with God. We started going, yeah, yeah, I want to worship you, God, but I want to do it with variety. But he gave you the answer. No, no, no. There is only one way. Jesus says he is the way. Am I correct? Then why do we still keep looking for variety? Well, I'm more comfortable when I have more choices. I'm more happy when I have more choices. I want more choices. He says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road. Now, a gate is the entrance and the road is the path you take. He's saying, so if you're on a wide gate in which you have many ways of getting in and a broad road in which your whole life is full of variety, he's saying what it leads to. It leads to destruction. Very clear. In other words, there's a lot of people that are living for their flesh and for their spirit as far as they're concerned. And he's saying, you can't do that. Do you understand that? But we want that. It's saying, and many enter through it. Did y'all catch that? He's saying many. And so the majority of people who want to claim to become Christian are this group. I'm entering through this variety and not through the way. There's only one door, even though it looks like there's many other ways of getting through. He says many enter through it. Now watch this. He's saying, but small is the gate and narrow is the road. So this gate, he's saying there's only one way in it, and you just it's one way to get through it. And the path, this life, is going to be one way. This is why all Christians should look in their walk the same. This is why we should have the same mind, same way. And I'm not saying, because there's a way when it comes to what we call indisputable matters, you'll see adjustments and changes like that. But for the whole wide part of living as a Christian, Christians should be the same because we're part of one body, right? Then why is it so different? Why are we so separate? Main reason, because of self. We want variety. We want to do what we want to do. And we already seen it leads to destruction. But he says, many enter through it. He says, but small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Only a few. It's a shame because God offers it to all, and it's not hard to find. It's just not always the most desirable path. So stop looking for the desirable path to life. Look for the path to life. That's the first thing. Secondly, have a true, fruitful relationship with Christ. A true, fruitful relationship with Christ. Sometimes we have what's called a fairy tale relationship with Christ. We have a made up relationship with Christ. Amen. You know, I've heard, and we've talked about this because the Bible talks about how a parent and a child should be, right? And parent and a child, there's the authority, and the parent has a responsibility in God for the child. But you'll get many people today that the parent and child will say, we're best friends. Sounds great. Not right. Do y'all get that? Not right. And you get a lot of people go, no, we're best friends. It's great. See, the friendship is great and all that, but there's a relationship, a God-given relationship that should be between a parent and a child. And it's not best friends. Did you understand that? There is an authority, and then there's the child. And you understand that. We do the same thing with Christ. We start making up our own relationship with Christ. We start having it our way, doing it the way we think, instead of the way. We stop following the way he says to. Look what it says in John 15, 1-4. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. So there is some producing of fruit, and we do this every year if you want to know what fruit is. There's a fruit of the Spirit that we are to produce. Everyone is to produce. And if you don't, you're cut off. But he says, in every branch that does not bear fruit, that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Now watch what he says in verse 4. Remain in me and I will remain in you. Did y'all catch that? Okay. So it's your choice. You can choose to leave, but the remain in me means have the relationship based on me. And you stay doing that. And I'm always going to be with you. Now he said he will never leave us nor forsake us. So usually when we get away from Christ, it's us leaving him. He hasn't gone anywhere. Do y'all get this? We made that choice to leave. That's why he said, remain in me and I will remain in you. You keep following and having that relationship with me based on me, and I'm going to be right there with you. It may not seem like it, but by faith, I know he is there. He's working with me. That's why I can count it pure joy when I go through trials, because he's with me. Do y'all catch that? Because I know he's with me and I'm following him. He's saying, remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. So we have to have that true relationship with Christ. You can't have these other relationships we have. They are not relationships with Christ. Please understand that. If you have a you-labeled relationship with Christ, you have no relationship with Christ. Do y'all get this? This is all based on the Bible. This is not a Pastor Keith answer for it. So it's up to you how you want to take it or not. This is what the Bible is showing us. And thirdly, keep checking you to make sure you are living in obedience to God. So it's something I have to check with me. It's not a feeling I have. It's not a title I have. This is where I'm going to be. It's a place in life I'm going to be. It says in 1 John 5, 3-5, this is love for God, to obey his commands. We've gotten away from that because we started preaching grace in a way that all you have to do is say these words and you're safe. Right? That's how we do it. You're safe. That's not what the Bible teaches. We started teaching that, and that's wrong. It made us kind of live your life the way you want to. It would be nice if you did what he said, but you're safe. But it's not what the Bible says. Even though we rather have that, we like that answer, it's not what it says. You're being deceived, even though he tells you not to be deceived. Remember, Eve and Adam, they were deceived because they heard what the serpent said, and they liked it. Did y'all catch that? And we do the same thing. Instead of going, wait, but that's not what the Bible says. We go, oh, you mean grace means all I got to do is say these words and I'm a Christian and I'm set? Right? Read the Bible. Study it. Check it. It does not. It's saying the love for God is to obey his command. Isn't that putting them into practice? is not doing what he says. It's saying his commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. If I become a Christian, that means I now have a power in me that is much stronger than the world. I can no longer say I can't do it or I can't help it. I can now say I am going to, because I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So many of us today still want somehow to be empowered in self, right? You know, we've turned into a motivational, make you feel good about you, make you strong in you, make you build up in you. And the problem is you. So why would I build you up in your weakness? In fact, he says to him, in your weakness, his power is made perfect. Isn't that what God said? In man's weakness, his power is made perfect. So why would I build you up? I'm just making you weak. So it makes sense when you understand that. That's why he says, everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith, who is to overcome the world. Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. All this comes together to let us know that how we live has to be fully based on what he says, how he says, and applied in his way. Completely checking on him. But finally, not doing it makes us unprotected, because we have to understand that God's word protects us when we completely live by them. 1 Corinthians 5:15-2 says, by this gospel you are saved. Now, when he says this gospel, he's talking about the Bible. He's saying by this gospel. Why is he saying this gospel? Because others like to preach other gospels. They'll come out and give you a fine sounding thing. They'll throw Jesus' name in there and you'll go, man, I love this. Wow, this makes me happy. And he's saying, but that's not going to save you. Do y'all get this? It's not going to help you. You might feel good for a moment, but it's really not doing anything for you. He's saying, by this gospel you're saved. And the key word, first word is what? If. If you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. If. He's saying that you will be saved by this if you hold firmly to this word. But then he gives you an alternative. Otherwise, you have what? Believed in vain. Please make it your point in your life to live based on him. Start having a true relationship to know him, to get what he says in order to apply it his way in order to have life eternally. Amen? All right. As the word says, that the words in my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. We take this time out to talk to our Father, to let him know how we feel, let him know what's going on in our minds, to give him thanks, to bring any request to him. For those of you who would like to write your prayer down, it should be a blank piece of paper on the table. Feel free to write your prayer on that. Put it in the table back where the ushers sit. And we will pray over it in the end. For those of you who would like somebody to pray with you, make sure you see myself or one of the ushers after services. We'll be more than glad to pray with you. And as we always do or say to do along with our children and to show as an example to our children is pray continually. And for those of you who are not sure if you're saved or would like to be saved, make sure you see me after services or one of the deacons. And we'll be more than glad to invite you into the family of Christ. Amen. Prayer and meditation. Amen. Worthy is the Lamb. Hopefully we understand the reason behind that. We're going to talk about that some more. How worthy he is to be praised. But until then, help yourselves with refreshments. And once you come back in, we will be starting on a new lesson, glorifying God. Amen? All right.